You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Brees Hall. He's done it again. Brees Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for breaking news. Some major developments in the AFC East happening today. And so to discuss it, our friend who covers the Jets for SI, Nick Faria. Nick, it's rainy and gross outside, but it's very sunny if you're a fan of the Jets or the Miami Dolphins right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephon Diggs traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. For not a first-round pick, not even a second-round pick incoming for the 2024 class, but a 2025 second-round selection. Obviously shifts the balance of power in the AFC. The Buffalo Bills lose their number one receiver. The Houston Texans continue to add to their young core already with C.J. Stroud leading the way. But when you look at it right now for the New York Jets and even the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills have gotten significantly worse this offseason with the releases of Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, and now the trade of Stephon Diggs. So clearly a lot moving going on in the AFC East for the Buffalo Bills, and this is going to open the door for a team like the Jets to really swipe in and potentially capture the AFC East crown.
Nick, what's interesting about this is that the big criticism for the Bills the last few years with Brandon Bean was – he wasn't doing enough to maximize Josh Allen. They weren't giving him enough weapons. The only real elite weapon or anything close to it that he had was Stephon Diggs. And now Stephon Diggs is gone. They also lost Gabe Davis, who was their de facto number two receiver, although I would argue that he's more of a number three. But in Buffalo, he served as the number two receiver. They brought in Curtis Samuel. Okay, fine. But look at the rest of those receivers. And I know Dalton Kincaid had a nice rookie year, but unless he turns into Travis Kelce overnight, all of a sudden, everything is very different in Buffalo. And the thing that's crazy about this is you talked about how the Bills got a 2025 second round pick. They also sent some picks back in the deal to Houston, but they swallowed a $31 million cap hit this year, which means that not only did they trade their only real weapon in the passing game, or at least elite weapon in the passing game, they spent $31 million on the cap to do it. And so they don't have any way of improving this year's team to the point where it would be anything close to last year's team from a passing game weapon standpoint, because I've seen people say, oh, they could go trade for T. Higgins or, oh, they could go trade for Brandon Ayuk. Even if that were a possibility, theoretically, for a team to do, I don't think it's possible for the Bills because the Bills don't have any cap space. $31 million wiped out. Josh Allen already has a $1.5 million base salary for this year, so there's not any real restructuring you can do there. I don't think the Bills can get anybody that would be any type of difference maker. Maybe they could find a way to fit somebody like Tyler Boyd under the cap if he's willing to take a reasonably inexpensive one-year deal. But this really hamstrings the Bills on top of taking away their best weapon in the passing game. So this is a huge momentum shifter potentially for the Jets and the Dolphins, because listen, Nick, we know that you can take a rookie wide receiver in this class and put him in there. It's a very deep wide receiver class, and we've seen wide receivers make an impact as rookies before. In fact, the receiver that the Bills ended up trading away to get Diggs in the first place, they didn't trade him specifically, but they traded away the draft pick that became him, Justin Jefferson, had a historical rookie year. So if something like that happens, fine. But the Bills are picking towards the end of the first round. They don't have a ton of ammunition to move way up to get one of the really top receivers. They'll probably have to settle for a second or third tier guy where they're sitting. And so it's crazy to think about the fact that the Bills, in a lot of ways, have really set themselves up for a big fall in 2024. Now, they do still have Josh Allen, arguably the second most important player in the NFL. But man, you are asking a lot. He wasn't able to get past Kansas City with Stefon Diggs. Without him, it seems like a Herculean task. And I don't know that there's any way that they can get somebody that would be even close to what Diggs was going to be for them in 2024 based on the resources they have in the draft and with the salary cap.
What the Bills are trying to do is they're trying to create a new roster similar to what the Kansas City Chiefs did following the trade with Tyreek Hill. They brought in a lot of different young players, and those young players really developed into all-pro caliber players. Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, those kind of guys. What Buffalo is going to struggle with, though, is when you look at the Chiefs and when they sort of restructured that roster, getting rid of Tyrann Mathieu, getting rid of Tyreek Hill, they had quality players at key positions already. I talk about the five main positions of value that teams have to have. You need a quarterback, a wide receiver, a left tackle, a pass rusher, and a top lockdown corner. You look at Buffalo, even with Stephon Diggs, they were missing the quality corner after cutting Tre'Davious White. They were missing the quality offensive lineman that you could trust day in and day out as a dominant, dominant player at left tackle. You had Josh Allen. You had several different guys as edge rushers, but you didn't have the number one guy. They were hoping Von Miller would be that. He certainly has not been so far through his Buffalo career. Now that you've opened up this hole as a receiver, you don't have the Travis Kelce on your roster. I know they love Dawson Knox, and I know they love Dalton Kincaid, but if they are truly going to transition their offense into a two tight end set, you better make sure that you have someone on the outside that can produce at a high level. So I think it's a foregone conclusion that this team is taking a wide receiver in the first round. And if you need a wide receiver, this is the draft to look at, because even the second, third tier guys are day one starters right away. This is a very, very deep receiver class overall. But again, Buffalo was behind the eight ball in a lot of different ways. Kansas City, when they made their restructure of the organization, they did so when they already had quality players, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, just to name a few players. And they were able to supplant some of those other guys, getting rid of Hill, adding more draft capital, and securing the cornerback's position, securing other pass rushers, and securing other younger receivers like Rashee Rice. So Buffalo was behind the eight ball in the way that they don't have the resources Kansas City had, and now they don't even have the backbone players that you can trust going into the year outside of maybe just Josh Allen. This is going to be a very interesting season for Buffalo. They're going to be competitive. I think most people expect Buffalo to still compete for a playoff spot because Josh Allen's a top five quarterback in this league. But it's very hard to see them compete with a team like the Jets, who, when we talk about those five positions of value, they not only have five solid starters, they have five all-pro caliber players at almost every position group.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
The Jets have their own issues, as do the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins lost some key defenders. The Jets have some older players that have injury risk. We know all of that. But the Bills trading away their only real passing game weapon that was proven to be on an elite level. Now they go into this season with, like we said, the only way to replace Diggs being a rookie. And no matter how good that rookie is, the odds of him being as good as or better or even in the ballpark of Stephon Diggs is not very high. It did happen with Justin Jefferson, but do you expect lightning to strike twice? I wouldn't be banking on that. So the Bills went from a team that were one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl to now a team that is going to be struggling to make the playoffs, at least on paper, that's what you would think. And Nick, what this makes me believe is that something was really wrong behind the scenes with Stephon Diggs. I mean, we'd heard some clues about it. There'd been some stuff dropped. There'd been some whispers, but it had always been quelled in the past. If they were willing to move on from him, take this enormous cap hit and not even get that much back in return, and basically torpedo on paper their chances of going to the Super Bowl in 2024, he must have made himself absolutely unbearable behind the scenes. And it must have been something that Josh Allen was on board with too, because I can't imagine they're making this move without him being on board.
Yeah, 100%. This has quarterback written all over it. And the one thing that I'm interested in, and we're not going to know about this until later on, but ultimately, from my understanding of the Stephon Diggs Buffalo feud, is that he wants a Super Bowl. It wasn't about targets to him. It wasn't about yards. It wasn't about being a focal point of the offense. It was about, is this team good enough to win a Super Bowl? Because he wants that ring. And over the last few years, they've gotten stuck in the same spot. You lose in the divisional round at home. They lost to Cincinnati in a snowstorm. They were completely just blown off the ball in that game. And then this past year, against the weakest Chiefs team we have seen in quite some time, they still couldn't beat them with the home crowd. So ultimately, I look at what really was the driving force of the split between Diggs and Josh Allen was simply Diggs wants a ring. And he believes that the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud provide a bigger window for him to get that ring right now.
Going to be interesting to see if he's right or not, because obviously we know last year Stroud had an enormously successful rookie season. But Josh Allen, as I said, arguably the second best player in football right now. Does Stroud give Stephon Diggs a better chance at a ring? Do the Houston Texans organization give him a better chance at a ring? We're going to find out. What we also are going to find out is whether or not the Jets this year give Hassan Reddick a better chance at a ring than the Eagles would have, because Hassan Reddick comes in here. We've talked about this already, Nick, an acquisition that happened last week. However, now there's more information coming out. Hassan Reddick spoke to the media. I want you to get into the details of what he had to say. There's also reports coming out of Philadelphia that made me laugh. Apparently, the Eagles, according to these reports, were concerned that Hassan Reddick was, quote, chasing sacks to get incentive bonuses, which is ridiculous because that's his job. He's supposed to be going after the quarterback. I guess the idea is he tried to go after the quarterback too hard. I'm not really sure what the downside is there or what he's supposed to be ashamed of, even if that were true. So talk to me a little bit about the reports out of Philly with Hassan Reddick, and then also what we heard from Hassan Reddick when he met the press a couple of days ago. There was also a funny interaction between him and Sauce Gardner that you can find over on the Jets Twitter account, where Hassan Reddick tells Sauce that they're going to hit anything that moves. And Sauce says he's with it. And it said, all right, I don't want to hold you up. Like, Sauce is some sort of bother. Like, I don't mean to hold you up, buddy. I know you got more important things to do than talk to me, Sauce Gardner. So I thought that was pretty funny too. But Nick, unpack all that for us.
Yeah, so let me go into the report first from Philadelphia. And Jeff McClain is as plugged in as any reporter in the NFL, and specifically in Philadelphia. So I'm not even questioning what he says. But there's two trains of thought to this thought process here. Of Reddick chasing sacks. The first one, probably the most obvious, is this is an Eagles front office that's trying to weather the blow a little bit of trading away an all-pro caliber player like Reddick for just a third-round pick that could become a second, not this year, not yet next year, but in three draft classes. So obviously a lot of people in Philadelphia are upset. This could certainly scream to some like an organization trying to protect their interest and making sure that they are still the smart people that they want to portray themselves as. the other side to this, and I think this is where you kind of got to do a lot of digging in terms of who the organization is and what they've been trying to do the last couple of years. Philadelphia, much like the Jets, are a team that wants to use different waves of pass rushers. And they kind of got away from that the last couple of years because of how dominant Reddick was and because of how good Josh Sweat was as well on the other side of the defensive line. Ultimately, what this conversation with that comment tells me is that Philadelphia was using Reddick 75% of the snaps. I think his total snap count was well over 70%, which is much different than what the Jets have done with their edge rushers. But ultimately, with the Eagles going down their slide last year, they dropped six of their final seven games. Their run defense was also extremely poor. And with Reddick being on the field as much as he was, he also got blasted quite a few times late in the year in run defense. So I think Philadelphia, when they say that, it was more about them wanting Reddick to play within the scheme of their defense, and they weren't thrilled sometimes with his lack of effort overall in the run defense, in their run game, strategically wise. And then you can also point to the fact that a lot of Eagle defenders were kind of doing their own thing late in the year last year. Kevin Byard was doing it. Avante Maddox was doing it. Reddick was certainly among those lines. Perhaps part of that complaint by Philadelphia is that they weren't very pleased with the fact that Reddick was trying to do his own thing, rushing the passer when they really wanted him to rush from a different angle or go out in coverage or do some of these different things. Now, the ridiculousness of it, of course, is no one in their right mind should have Hassan Reddick drop back into coverage. And with the Jets, that's not going to happen. And Reddick also spoke about this. I'll transition now to his big takeaways from the Jets press conference that I was at. But ultimately, if you look at Hassan Reddick, he is a pure get-to-the-quarterback pass rusher. Bill Cowher once told Greg Lloyd, rush the quarterback. That's what I want you to do. Rush the quarterback. And this is a very simple example right here where the Jets are asking Reddick on less snaps to get after the quarterback. And that's something that he recognizes. This Jets defense is a lot better than the Eagles defense was last season. And even quite frankly, 2 years ago when the Eagles defense was a top five unit, Philadelphia does not and did not possess the quality of all pro talent that the Jets have at every single level of the defense. This is by far the most talented group Reddick has ever played for. And he knows it. He sees it. And it's certainly something that, if Reddick being 29 years old was a concern to some people that a potential drop off was going to happen, he's going to be playing less and producing a lot more.
By the way, Nick, it's worth noting that having Hassan Reddick do things like dropping back in coverage and doing things that an off-ball linebacker typically would do, if you're asking a linebacker to do it, is exactly why he wasn't as productive as you would have expected as the 13th overall pick in the draft when he was in Arizona his first few seasons. It wasn't until they told him, okay, go get the quarterback, that he turned into the player that they thought he was going to be. So when it comes to Hassan Reddick, like you said, the way to handle it is tell him, go get the quarterback, and you have other people worry about the other issues with the defense. You have Hassan Reddick do what he does best. That's why he's been such a successful player the last few years. It's why he's been fifth in the league in sacks the last 4 years. It's why he's one of only two players to get double-digit sacks the last 4 years. And if you want him to give you maximum value, you keep him doing that. Last order of business, Nick, the Jets lost one of their captains, Justin Hardy. Their special teams ace goes home to Cleveland and signs with the Browns. That's where he's from, Cleveland. Hardy, a really good locker room guy, a very good special teams player. But the reality of the situation is he's getting paid a pretty good amount for a guy that only plays on special teams. You don't really ever see him on the field for any other reason. And the Jets developed a really good special teams player in Irv Charles last year, who filled in very capably when Justin Hardy was out with an injury. Brant Boyer, one of the best special teams coaches in the league. He has a really good track record of being able to develop these guys. Irv Charles looks like the next in line. I'm sure there are other guys that he's comfortable working with. And I would imagine if Brant Boyer was pounding the table saying we must bring back Justin Hardy, the Jets would have made more of an effort. But it comes down to a matter of what they have in front of them, which is a developing Irv Charles, a really good coach in Brant Boyer who they trust. And when you combine those two things and the fact that Irv Charles makes so much less money than Justin Hardy, and the Jets need their cap space to use for other players that play more prominent positions and can help in a greater way in a win now year, it leads to a situation like this where, all things equal, you would have liked for Justin Hardy to come back, but you totally understand why he's not coming back. And I don't think it's going to be a terrible loss, even though, like I said, all things equal, you would have liked to have seen him as a member of the 2024 Jets.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to money and age. You know, Hardy's getting up there. He's coming off an injury. Irv Charles was fantastic on special teams. And they also drafted Jarek Bernard Converse last year, the corner safety hybrid, who I know they're very high on in terms of special teams play. If both of those players, JBC and Charles, are producing and playing at a high level on special teams, the Hardy signing in Cleveland's not really going to matter. And I think the Jets understand this offense that they have is going to be a lot better this year. And the Jets defense is going to be a lot better than last year's group. So the focus on special teams, it's not to say that it's not going to be there, but it's not going to be as apparent as it was last year, where they were winning games solely because Thomas Morstead was keeping offenses within their own 5-yard line and the defense would force a safety, or the defense would force a 3-and-out and the offense would get great field position. Ultimately, the need for a gunner is just not going to be there this year. And so that's why if you can get younger at certain positions, you should absolutely look to do so. They've done that here with Hardy. They obviously love Charles. I know they're still high on Jarek Bernard Converse. This was a necessary move, or a necessary non-move to make for the betterment of the franchise.
Nick Faria covering the Jets for SI. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about the breaking news with me. It is going to be fascinating to see how the AFC East plays out. It looked like it was going to be a three-way race. It may still be, but that race just got a lot different because one of the teams in that race, the team that was favored, just lost their biggest gun. It almost reminds me a little bit of that scene in Major League 2 when Jack Parkman gets traded and the manager's running after him, yelling at him about some derogatory comments about the team that he had made in the paper. And Parkman looks at him and says, "You ought to read the papers more, Skip. Your biggest gun, in fact, your only gun, just got traded to Chicago." Well, that could be the case with Stephon Diggs. He looks at Josh Allen and says, "Your biggest gun, in fact, your only gun, just got traded to the Houston Texans." What will the Bills do from here? We're going to find out. I agree with Nick. I think it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to pick a wide receiver in the draft. Who will it be? What kind of impact will he have? And how will the AFC East shake out? So many questions to think about and so many questions yet to be answered. Nick, I know you're going to do your best to answer those questions preemptively, or at least your thoughts on how this is going to turn out. You'll be covering that and a whole lot more over at SI, right?
Yeah, absolutely. SI, doing a little bit of stuff for Pro Football Network as well. Staying busy for the time being. And as always, you guys can check out my work on Twitter at Nick_Faria1720. All the help and viewership, of course, is appreciated.
Make sure you check out everything Nick's doing. Follow him on Twitter. Check out everything we're doing as well at playlikeajet.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.